Alright, sorry about being a bit late. Welcome back to Divine Office, Praying with Scripture. Let's begin with the invitatory and then we'll pray for the Pope's monthly intentions. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. We have a very special saint today. He's a miracle worker, a prophet, a priest, and one of the great preachers. Some people call him the angel of the apocalypse. Father Vincent Ferrer, a saint from several hundred years back. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. The Lord's is the earth in its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is He who set it on the seas. On the waters He made it firm. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek Him. Seek the face of the God of Jacob. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let Him enter, the King of glory. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant, the Lord, the valiant in war. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let Him enter, the King of glory. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Who is He, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies. He is the King of glory. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Now let us pray for the Holy Father's monthly intentions. Like I said, they're all really good. Let us pray that the use of the new technologies will not replace human relationships, will respect the dignity of the person, and will help us face the crises of our time. Lord, good Father, as I look at the world and see men and women working in it and beautifying it, a great thank you springs from my heart. The action of your Spirit among us encourages us to grow in the progress of science and technology, in the service of human dignity, for integral and inclusive human development. Because we know you desire the good of all, from the heart of your Church, your Son calls us to ensure that technology does not replace person-to-person contact, that the virtual does not replace the real, and that social networks do not replace social settings. Help us develop the ability to live wisely, to think deeply, to love generously without losing heart, promoting scientific and technological growth that increasingly aligns with human development in responsibility, values, and awareness. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray. So we thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers for those important intentions and any implied prayers related to them about new technologies. Praise the Lord, you heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the height. Sun and moon, rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise the Lord, for he has spoken. Worlds his mighty voice obeyed. Laws which never shall be broken, for their guidance he has made. Praise the Lord, for he is glorious. Never shall his promise fail. God has made his saints victorious. Sin and death shall not prevail. Praise the God of our salvation. Hosts on high his power proclaim. Heaven and earth and all creation praise and magnify his name. Worship, honor, glory, blessing, Lord, we offer unto thee. Young and old, thy praise expressing, in glad homage bend the knee. All the saints in heaven adore thee, we would bow before thy throne. As thy angels serve before thee, so on earth thy will be done. Antiphon 1, the Lord delivered his people from the oppressor. Psalm 78, portion. Salvation history reveals the goodness of God and the faithlessness of his people, is the caption. The scripture is, these events are recalled as a warning to us. 1 Corinthians 10:6. How often they defied him in the wilderness and caused him pain in the desert. Yet again they put God to the test and grieved the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his deeds, nor the day he saved them from the foe. When he worked his wonders, his miracles in Egypt, his wonders in the plains of Zoan, when he turned their rivers into blood, made their streams impossible to drink, he sent dog flies against them to devour them, and swarms of frogs to molest them. I'm so sorry. He gave their crops to the grub, the fruit of their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle to plague, their flocks and herds to pestilence. He turned on them the heat of his anger, fury, rage, and havoc, a troop of destroying angels. He gave free course to his anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave their lives to the plague. Thank you. He struck all the firstborn in Egypt, the finest flower in the dwellings of Ham. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord delivered his people from the oppressor. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Father, teach us your ways and save us from ourselves. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord delivered his people from the oppressor. Antiphon 2, the Lord led his people to his holy mountain. Then he brought forth his people like sheep. He guided his flock in the desert. He led them safely with nothing to fear, while the sea engulfed their foes. So he brought them to his holy land, to the mountain which his right hand had won. He drove out the nations before them and divided the land for their heritage. Their tents he gave as a dwelling to each one of Israel's tribes. Still they put God to the proof and defied him. They refused to obey the Most High. They strayed as faithless as their fathers, like a bow on which the archer cannot count. With their mountain shrines they angered him, made him jealous with the idols they served. God saw and was filled with fury. He utterly rejected Israel. He forsook his dwelling place in Shiloh, the tent where he lived among men. He gave his ark into captivity, his glorious ark into the hands of the foe. He gave up his people to the sword in his anger against his chosen ones. So war devoured their young men. Their maidens had no wedding songs. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lament. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord led his people to his holy mountain. The Lord chose the tribe of Judah, and David his servant, to shepherd Israel, his chosen people. Then the Lord awoke as if from sleep, like a warrior overcome with wine. He struck his foes from behind and put them to everlasting shame. He rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, the hill of Zion, which he loves. He built his shrine like the heavens, or like the earth, which he made firm forever. And he chose David his servant, and took him away from the sheepfolds. From the care of the ewes he called him, to be shepherd of Jacob his people, of Israel his own possession. He tended them with blameless heart, with discerning mind he led them. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord chose the tribe of Judah, and David his servant, to shepherd Israel, his chosen people, in honor of Mary's gifts from the Holy Spirit. We pray for our needs. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And now we come to one of my favorite parts, the reading from Scripture or tradition. Saturday. The man of God welcomes the light so that all may see that his deeds are true. First reading, a book from the book of Numbers. Chapter 20, 1 through 13, and chapter 21, 4 through 9. The waters of Meribah, the bronze serpent. The whole Israelite community arrived in the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people settled in Kadesh. It was here that Miriam died, and here that she was buried. As the community had no water, they held a council against Moses and Aaron. The people contended with Moses, exclaiming, "Would that we too had perished with our kinsmen in the Lord's presence! Why have you brought the Lord's community into this desert, where we and our livestock are dying? Why did you lead us out of Egypt, only to bring us to this wretched place, which has neither grain, nor figs, nor vines, nor pomegranates? Here there is not even water to drink." But Moses and Aaron went away from the assembly to the entrance of the meeting tent, where they fell prostrate. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff and assemble the community, you and your brother Aaron, and in their presence order the rock to yield its waters. From the rock you shall bring forth water for the community and their livestock to drink." So Moses took the staff from its place before the Lord, as he was ordered. He and Aaron assembled the community in front of the rock, where he said to them, "Listen to me, rebels. Are we to bring water for you out of this rock?" Then raising his hand, Moses struck the rock twice with his staff, and water gushed out in abundance for the community and their livestock to drink. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you were not faithful to me in showing forth my sanctity before the Israelites, you shall not lead this community into the land I will give them." These are the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites contended against the Lord, and where he revealed his sanctity among them. From Mount Hor, they set out on the Red Sea road to bypass the land of Edom, but with their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert, where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food. In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people, so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole, and if anyone who has been bitten looks at it, he will recover." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole, and whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he recovered. Responsory Prayer. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that all who believe in him may have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save it, so that all who believe in him may have eternal life. And we're going to have a great second reading from the Treatises on the Spiritual Life by St. Vincent Ferrer for our Saint of the Day, as we celebrate St. Vincent's special commemoration during Lent. On teaching, when you treat virtuous and sinful acts in your sermons and exhortations, use simple language and sensible idioms. Give apt and precise examples whenever you can. Each sinner in your congregation should feel moved as though you were preaching to him alone. Your words should sound as though they were coming not from a proud or angry soul, but from a charitable and loving heart. Your tone of voice should be that of a father who suffers with his sinful children, as though they were seriously ill or were lying in a huge pit, and he struggles to free them, raise them up, and cherish them like a mother, as one who is happy over their progress and the hope they have of heaven's glory. This way of preaching has proven profitable to congregations, for an abstract discourse on the virtues and vices hardly inspires those who listen. When hearing confession, you should always radiate the warmest charity. Whether you are gently encouraging the faint-hearted or putting the fear of God into the hard-hearted, the penitent should feel that you are motivated only by pure love. Therefore, speak in a pleasant, friendly way before you use words that will prod his conscience. Finally, if you truly want to help the soul of your neighbor, you should approach God first with all your heart. Ask him simply to fill you with charity, the greatest of all virtues, and with it you can accomplish what you desire. Beautiful, isn't it? And so beautifully inspiring even today. Responsory Prayer. Proclaim the message in season and out of season. Refute falsehood, correct error, call to obedience. I preached repentance to the people that they might return to God. Refute falsehood, correct error, call to obedience. And during morning prayer, it would have had an antiphon. It is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And evening prayer, I became all things to all men, that all might find salvation. O God, who raised up the priest, St. Vincent Ferrer, to minister by the preaching of the gospel, grant, we pray, that when the judge comes, whom St. Vincent proclaimed on earth, we may be among those blessed to believe, to behold him reigning in heaven, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. So we're asking for plenary or partial indulgence, and I will offer mine for any soul that our Lord and our Lady have picked out for special help in purgatory. May this be done in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. But let's stand around briefly, and we'll look at that second part of the petition from the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us, not deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, So we left off just having finished CCC 2847 last time. And we had that wonderful quote from Origen of Alexandria about how God created us free, and temptation reveals the goods he gives to us. Now the church says, "Lead us not into temptation" implies a decision of the heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No one can serve two masters. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. In this ascent to the Holy Spirit, the Father gives us strength. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. Such a battle and such a victory become possible only through prayer. It is by his prayer that Jesus vanquishes the tempter, both at the outset of his public ministry, mission, and in the ultimate struggle of his agony. In this petition to our Heavenly Father, Christ unites us to his battle and his agony. He urges us to vigilance of the heart in communion with his own. Vigilance is custody of the heart, and Jesus prayed for us to the Father, "Keep them in your name." The Holy Spirit constantly seeks to awaken us to keep watch. Finally, this petition takes on all its dramatic meaning in relation to the last temptation of our earthly battle. It asks for final perseverance. "Lo, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is he who is awake." So almost all those are scripture verses. It's almost like the church has picked God's words to preach to us in a very specific way through kind of a narrative, and they've italicized a decision of the heart and vigilance to show us that these are key concepts within those paragraphs, the central ones for those paragraphs. So in the Catholic faith, it's common to hold the Beatitudes, and especially the Our Father, up for a special type of centrality, I guess you could say, to make them, even this catechism calls the Our Father, in a sense, the summary, or the prayer summary of the gospel, the summary of the gospel. So there's going to link with many, many things. And again, this just briefly puts us in that dramatic situation, the legacy of Adam on one hand, with the legacy of original sin infecting people and causing them things to desire things that they shouldn't, and the gift of Christ, which transforms us interiorly. So it's a personal drama. There's the battle between the flesh and the spirit, the flesh that has that original sin dwelling within it like a disease, and the spirit, which God continually revives all that's good and perfects it through the grace of the Holy Spirit. One of the watchwords here that's italicized is discernment. And that's earlier on yesterday, we read about that. Trying to make sure that we get good at understanding how to please God in practical terms, so that we can discern when we have sinned, when we have resisted temptation, and when temptation just shows us something new about ourselves, even something good. So temptation can be a great blessing. Many priests will tell us it can be a good time to prove our worth, in a sense, to ourselves, and also show our deep love for God. So we talked about that yesterday. I just love that one that's almost entirely scripture verses and ends with how there's this, a way of escape. God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. So that's, again, multi-stages. So it's interesting, they all envision different times within the person who might be experiencing testing or temptation. It offers several different translations. I believe it can also mean test, or do not lead us into the final test. So there's a bunch of different things about the original language that just reveal new things. And of course, that's just the main thing is what they said. The flesh and the spirit, then it goes and outlines, okay, when you're being tempted, you have to make a decision of the heart. And that's where you can reveal your love of God. We have to practice vigilance before temptation. And after, we have to learn to pray for final perseverance and to have real soft knowledge of ourself. That soft knowledge is a really big deal. Spiritual direction books written by master spiritual directors will tell you that again and again, that two things are necessary for salvation: accurate knowledge of God and accurate knowledge of self. So we have to know that. We have to know what we are actually going to do, rather than kind of think, okay, whatever I want or whatever I think is right. Because often we know what we should do and we do not do it. So we need to learn to lower ourselves, to ask for help, and to recognize the truth about ourselves. And only then do we really start to see ourselves being able to be placing ourselves under the guidance of God's grace. So I hope that you had a great rest of your day. I hope this mini short form Handing on the Faith is very helpful to you. Certainly the catechism's fourth part is really, really precious and so valuable. Hope that you have a great rest of your night.